Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 11. Why would Satan cast out Satan? Matthew 12:26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Mark 3:23. How can Satan cast out Satan? Luke 11:18. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Anyone remotely familiar with spiritual things has heard about the doctrine of the unpardonable sin. It's made its way into nearly every discussion and is usually never dealt with in a final way, settling the issue. What is it? How can one commit such a sin? Is there no hope afterward? Jesus had just performed a miracle of unmistakable credit. A lunatic that was mute and blind was brought to Jesus. This man was known in the area, and it was obvious that there was a spirit on this man that had him bound physically. Jesus healed him so that the man could both speak and see. The religious leaders who witnessed this event couldn't attribute it to God, for this confession would convict them. If they were to remain segregated from Christ, and they were to continue to teach that he was not who he said he was, they must condemn what he did and attribute it to some other power. So they said, "By the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub, this man cast out Satan, and not by Jehovah." Jesus looked at them and said, "My Father will forgive anyone of anything but that." Many of the charlatans involved in miracle ministries today use this ploy. The idea of doubting their credibility is considered blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and they warn those who do so of committing an unforgivable sin. Some others, playing on words, say that not accepting Christ is the unforgivable sin. It's also been attached to specific sins, such as using the name of God in vain. What exactly is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Matthew 12:31-32. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It is clear that anyone who watched this miracle take place could not doubt that the source of the miracle was none other than Jehovah the Creator. It was only stubborn pride and arrogance and a filthy heart that would conceive Christ's collaboration with demons and let such an accusation spew out of their mouth. When they purposefully turned their eyes from the evidence and determined to harden their heart against accepting the clear witness of Messiah, Jesus said that they had sealed their fate. Their rejection of the Father, who graciously sent them an irrefutable sign to believe in Messiah, was not only rejected and ignored, but then attributed to the arch enemy of all mankind, the first rebel and hardener of hearts. The glory of God's grace and power that was lovingly sent to us to help us and save us was sullied and ascribed as though given by Satan to deceive us.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked. But even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked. In his devotional meditations book entitled On the Questions of Jesus, Don Harris examines 150 questions that the Messiah posed. This book was the result of a personal devotional study that Don embarked upon a few years ago. After sharing several of his insights with others, he was encouraged to publish what the Lord was teaching him. And the conclusion was a 475-page devotional which examines the revealing questions Jesus asked and the answers given. Whatever the reason Jesus asked his questions, in all our conversational encounters with the Savior, it will be his wisdom that beams, his glory that shines, and his heart of love and compassion that is laid before us. Your answers to his questions will sometimes make you uncomfortable and lay your heart open to him in return. But to whom, save Christ, could you really trust your candid answers and confessions? Who is able to open your life for examination in pure love and unfeigned truth as Jesus can? As you hear Jesus ask the probing questions to his adversaries, acquaintances, seekers, and intimate disciples, you'll be challenged to examine your own life in respect to Christ's inquiries. As you hear his questions and consider your own answers, you're thrust into his time and he into yours. By quiet contemplations, words on a page become a live conversation. If only you'll answer his questions honestly and with sincerity, you may well peer into the depths of your own soul and purpose, heretofore undiscovered and unknown. Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Jehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to him, revealing his ways, his thoughts, and eventually, if he wills it so, his Father. As he said in Matthew 11:27-28, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
It was the ultimate insult, done by intent, done by rebellion. The miracle was incontrovertible. This was no parlor trick that could be done by sleight of hand or mirrors. This miracle was unquestionably genuine, an attribute to which the miracles of today would have difficulty laying claim. When this miracle occurred, look at the reaction from the religious people there. It divided them in two. But some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. In another place, the scriptures say, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" One group dismissed him out of hand and rejected him as a deceiver. The other's attitude showed interest in more spectacular signs. The group that is not mentioned is the family and friends of this poor man who was no longer dumb and blind. As the commotion rose from the religious leaders, some condemning Jesus and some urging him on to do other miracles, there was a man looking at the world around him for the first time in his life. He looked into the faces of his brothers and friends and was able for the first time to speak to them. The din of the crowd lessened to give way to the thoughts now rushing through his mind. He stood thoroughly fascinated with the world he beheld. There was, opening before him, in full color, a world that, before today, he had only heard. Satan had been cast out. Darkness was replaced by light. Abundant life was now in the stead of misery. Jesus, ignoring the selfish request for miracles, looks back over his shoulder at this man who now sees for the first time his own way home, and his friends flocking around him, patting him and shaking his hand, wonders how anyone could see such a deliverance as the work of Satan. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He looks at the religious leadership and wonders to himself, why would this miracle cause them to blaspheme God? How can they think this is the work of Satan? Then Jesus looks at them, holds his hand up, and asks out loud, why would Satan cast out Satan? Sometimes we become so group-oriented that we start to think that our group is the only one through which God moves and works. We're dangerously close to blasphemy when we attribute the wonderful works of God that occurs in circles we do not frequent to forces that are considered to be at enmity with heaven. We should thank God for the fruit, no matter at which end of the vine it grows. The deliverance from sins, the freedom in Christ, the healing of bodies and lives are reason enough to thank God, no matter from whose camp it came. None of us are the possessors of all truth. We walk in obedience, or at least that's our goal, and take the path He lays before us. As Paul said, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. We should rejoice and follow Christ. We're not to chase miracles we deem proper, nor are we to condemn those we determine are not. We are to follow. Once when John, one of Jesus' disciples, found another ministering in Christ's name, he came to Jesus and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Jesus feels no threat when someone outside your denomination does a wonderful work in his name. You should not either. If good is being accomplished, then so be it, and thank God for it. When you see Satan's kingdom suffer, no matter at whose hands, you can rest assured that our God has commissioned someone to do the job. When you think that the devil is in the one who followeth not us, you can easily determine the source of their work by asking the same question Jesus asked of the doubting Pharisees. Why would Satan cast out Satan?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and His Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to His Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867, that's 888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.